1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. And the Bible says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both ye and your king." You may be seated tonight. We find it, you look in the scripture right here in 1 Samuel chapter 12, it has to deal with the time when Israel wanted a king. If you remember, God wanted to be their king and was their king. But Israel, for whatever reason, they had come to a place where they wanted to be like everybody else, and they wanted a king. So God and that allowed them to have a king. If you even go back into the law, God had laid out in the law for how them to choose a king. He didn't want them to have a king, but He knew later on down the road what was going to happen. He knew that they were going to want one. He knew that they were going to choose one. So even if you look in the law, He laid out how for them to choose and that a king. But we're coming to the end of this chapter, and Samuel has gone ahead, and he is, by God's help, and that anointed and that Saul to be the first king, and that over the children of Israel. And he says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." So we see that the first thing right here, even though Israel had done wrong, we find that Samuel was not going to quit praying for them. Have you ever done that? For anybody, somebody that might have wronged you, or somebody that you felt like have wronged you, have you quit praying for them? Let me say tonight that it's easy to get angry, and it's easy to get snubbed up at people and say, "I'm not going to pray for them." I don't believe that would be the right thing for us to do tonight. I believe that if anything, we ought to be praying for them and praying for us. Amen. I know I quote this verse a lot, but I have Ephesians chapter 4. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." But he said, not only will I not cease to pray for you, he says, I'll always pray for you. But he said, "But I will teach you the good and the right way." He said, even though you've chose a king, even though you wanted to stray from God in that very fact, he said, "I'm still going to teach you the right way." Verse 24, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart." Boy, there's a good, thing for us to do. A good, exhortation in our life is simply for us to serve God with all our heart. But what I want to look at is what he said at the end of verse 24. He said, "For consider how great things He hath done for you." Now that word "consider" means to set our mind on. It means to view. It means to look at something that causes an examination. And tonight I would want us to examine and to consider and to look at with careful examination the great things that God has done for us. Can I say tonight that God has done great things for me? He has done. Look at you tonight and tell you that the God in heaven has done great things for you. Listen, every one of us come in here tonight, and I would dare that none of us was hungry. We all drove in here in a fine automobile. Listen, I've been in most of your homes. I know what it's like. I've listened to you testify, and I know that God has done great things for you. Listen tonight, that word "great," and boy, I'm telling you, if you look it up, there is so many definitions for the word "great." But that word "great" means large. It means large in bulk or in dimensions or in number. It means important, or it means rich or magnificent. As I studied this, I thought about what Tony the Tiger always said about Frosted Flakes. What did he say? "They're great, ain't they?" But you know what we were to say about the Lord tonight? He's great, ain't he? Hey, can I tell you tonight that first of all, I'm looking at great. You know, the Bible's full of great things. Talks about great faith, great reward. Talks about a great gulf fix, a great judgment day, a great white throne judgment. It just talks about great love and great mercy and all these things. But can I say number one tonight is that we have a great salvation. Take your Bible and go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2 tonight. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. I tell you, I'm tickled to be here and tickled to be saved. Amen. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't saved. I believe I'd run this altar and get saved tonight. If I wasn't saved, I believe I'd do that. Hey, Jesus could come at any moment. I mean, just like that. And I'm telling you, what did he say in Hebrews chapter 2? Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels would steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, what's he saying? He said, now look. He said, what we've heard, he said, we need to hold on to it. He said, we need to give earnest heed to it. He said, if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, listen, and if you, and you'll find out that he spoke to us, and that by his son, in verse 3, he said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, he talks about if we neglect it, how are we going to escape? You cannot escape damnation and hell tonight if you neglect the salvation that God has sent. And it is in His Son, by the way, tonight. Ain't you glad tonight? But notice what He said. He called it a great salvation. Called it a great salvation. I mean, that when we just talk about salvation, listen, I'm glad salvation's real tonight. And I'm glad it is easy to get saved, by the way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way. A lot of people in different versions, when they see that word narrow, they translate that to difficult. It ain't difficult to get saved. I mean, it's easy to get saved. All man, woman, boy, or girl has to do is come to an altar, just like I did, kneel down, and from their heart ask God to save them. I listen, and He'll do that, amen. But he said it's a great salvation. It's a large salvation. Listen tonight, it will save anybody that'll come to it tonight. Hey, listen, the Savior, would you not say that we have a great Savior tonight? I mean, listen, was that not the prophecy that Gabriel come over there in Luke chapter 1 and told Mary and said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great. Listen, I don't know any other way to say it, but we have a great salvation because we got a great Savior tonight, one that loved us and died for us so that we could get saved from our sins. We were in great sin, wasn't we? Why, it was sin that was killing us. It was sin. Let me say this tonight. If you've never been saved, it's still sin that's killing you. And I'll say this tonight. It's sin that's killing all of us tonight. I mean, listen, we're in a cursed earth, living in a cursed body. And that's what's going to get us tonight. But my sin's been forgiven. Boy, I'm telling you, it's brought to us by a great Savior who was willing to pay a great price. I get excited every time I read Matthew 13. And if you know anything about Matthew 13, there's seven parables over there. And I've taught on them on Wednesday night, on Sunday night. I preached them years ago out of Matthew 13, them seven parables. But the Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price. Whew. Now, he's talking about the church right there. When he talks about the pearl of great price. But boy, I tell you, I can just see me in there. I mean, he was looking for a pearl of great price. And the Bible said, and when he had found it, he went and sold all that he had so that he could buy it. You know what Christ Jesus done? When he looked out through time and he saw you, he said, Father, I'll go to Calvary. And he said, I'll give myself for her. And I'll give myself for him. That they can get saved. Boy, I'm telling you, did he not pay a great price for me and you? I'm telling you, he was willing to give himself and did give himself and wanted to give himself. Hebrews 12 said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Listen, he wanted to go to Calvary. I can't explain that tonight. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thy will be done. Boy, I'm telling you, he's a great Savior, bringing us a great salvation because he was willing to pay a great price, wasn't he? Are me and you worth that tonight? I don't think I'm worth anything. I remember growing up, Daddy always had a saying, if we run in, if we run into people that wasn't much punking or whatever he thought, he'd say, I better move on. I won't say it wasn't bad, but I won't say it anyway. Listen tonight. Listen, there ain't none of us good enough to get saved. Oh, but ain't you glad? Oh, that he was a great Savior that had great love. Psalms 113? Psalms 113 talks about the great, great love. I believe that's where it's at. Psalms 111 or Psalms 113, he talks about great love that he had for us. You go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and it talks about his great mercy wherewith he loved us. Boy, I'm telling you, he was a great Savior, bringing a great salvation. One that would save the whole world. What did he say in Luke 19 and 10? For the Son of Man has come to seek to save that which was lost. Man, I'm telling you, as I studied this, I thought about the man that was called Legion in Mark chapter 5. I thought about him. I take your Bible and go over there and look, Mark chapter 5. And you remember what the Lord told him after he cast all them devils out of him, and he had him clothed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. And let me say this again. That's when folk got scared. They did not care to try to bind him while he was full of the devil. Remember, they tried to bind him with chains over and over and over again. So somebody had to go get him. They didn't get scared till that same feller had met Christ Jesus the Lord. And there was something different about him. Folk don't get excited with us until they see that there's something different about us. And we start beginning to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch what happens right here. The Bible said in verse 16, and they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want Jesus there. Ain't that a shame? Ain't that a shame? Boy, I'm telling you, he was in a place where he could help them if they would have only come to him. And the Bible said, when he was come into the ship, he that had been, boy, I like that, past tense. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how what? Great things. Now I'm talking about great things tonight. Great things the Lord hath done for thee. Not a great thing, but great things. Jesus said, I've done more than one thing for you tonight. And he said, I just want you to go home and tell them what I've done for you. Does that know what we ought to do tonight, church? Is just tell folk what Christ, the great things that he's done for us. Amen. Boy, how he saved us, found us, saved us, made a difference in our life. What a great Savior tonight. What did that woman at the well in John chapter 4 do? After she figured out he was more than a man and more than a prophet, she figured out that he was Messiah, the Christ Jesus, the Lord. She ran into town and said, come and see a man that told me everything that I ever did. Boy, went and told everything. Boy, I'm telling you, if me and you ever get sold on the very fact that he done something great for us, I believe we'd go tell people. But he would go tell people, boy, what great things the Lord hath done. He's a great Savior, bringing a great salvation. I'm just glad to be saved tonight. I am. I'm tickled to death with it. Listen, because it ain't nothing I've done. It ain't nothing I'm keeping, but simply trusting in him tonight. Praise him tonight. Look what you got, though, when you got saved. I'm telling you, you ever think about salvation? Now think about that. You ever heard this old saying, that's probably too good to be true? You ever heard that? You ever heard that old saying, that's probably too good to be true? You got to watch some of them things that's on the internet and on the TV. You know, they're on internet TV, so they got to be real. Ain't that right? A lot of them things they're telling you on there, they're just too good to be true. But I tell you what, when it comes to Jesus coming to save a sinner, no matter what they've done or where they've been or the meanness they've been into, no matter how good they are, it's not too good to be true. He come to save whosoever will. What was it in Isaiah chapter 55 over there? He said, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Sure to make a shout tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, what we got out of salvation, that's almost too good to be true. Boy, we got the peace of God, peace with God, and joy and happiness in our heart that is beyond my understanding tonight. I'm telling you, hey, listen, that peace that rules supreme, when the world seems like it's coming to an end, listen, I'm glad tonight it's real tonight because it's a great Savior that brought a great salvation. But then He's a great Savior that brought a great salvation to do a great work in your life. You go back to the text verse in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, let me get back over here now. 1 Samuel chapter 12. What did he tell them over here? He said, the Lord has done what? He said, for consider how great things he had done for you. So he's brought you a great salvation in a great Savior who done a great work at Calvary. But then he's done great things and great work in your life. I mean, look what he's done. I mean, he saved you if you're saved tonight. But think about all the blessings and all the things that he's done. I hate to use that word thing because it encompasses such a broad aspect. But even the Bible uses it right here. He said, consider the great things that he hath done. Think about all the times you've wept and cried and prayed. And boy, he came. Think about all the times you just needed him to show up and help. And he come by. Think about all the times that you didn't know how he was going to work it out, but some way, somehow, he worked it out. He done it. Not you. He done it tonight. Oh, I'm glad when he does it. I'm telling you, I'm glad when he manifests himself and shows up and he works beyond what I can ever work. I do things beyond my control that's beyond me. And I stand back and scratch my head and say, I don't know how you done it, but I sure am glad you did do it, Lord. Thank you for the great things that you done. Large, remember, large, great things. I tell you, tonight I'm preaching on great things, but ain't you glad he does small things too? I'm so tickled to death. He does small things. I believe it's just a small thing for him to bring the sun up of the morning out of its resting place. I think it's just a small thing for him to let those sun rays smile on us. I think it's just a small thing. The great things that he has done for us. I'm telling you tonight, think about what he can do for you. I don't know where you are tonight in your spiritual life or what you need from him in your prayer life, but I'm telling you tonight, he's good enough and big enough and great enough to handle it. I know that tonight. I know that he can. I mean, there's times that he simply just come by and loved on you and hugged up on you when you needed that more than anything. Friend, that he just made himself and that apparent. Ain't he great tonight? What great things. He said, consider how great things he had done. Examine them things. Look at them. Times that you've worried for nothing. Remember what was I talking about this morning? Worrying about not worrying. Y'all thought I was kidding. That's my wife. I worry about not worrying. When I ain't got nothing else to think about, I'll think about, well, why ain't I worrying about something? Y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? It's the way my mind works. I mean, if everything's going good, I guess I'm waiting on the shoe to drop. Huh? Ain't you glad tonight we don't have to worry? What great things he had done for us. My. Helped your family. Huh? How many times has he watched over you and kept you safe and you probably didn't even know it? He sure is awful good tonight. Well, glory. He said, consider, think about him for just a little while. Think about all the times that he's just showed up, even when you didn't ask him to show up. But yet he showed up in his greatness. As one fella said, we just want you to show up and show out. Boy, ain't that what we want God to do sometimes, is show up and show out. But sometimes I just want him to show up. He don't have to show out. I just need him to show up. And I love it when he does. It's the blessings of the Lord, friend, tonight that I look at and I think and I want to consider. Do you know there ain't none of us in here worthy of none of the blessings of God tonight? Ain't a one of us in here worthy. Oh, but ain't he so, I mean, he's past good. He's great at what he does tonight. Look what he said right here. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Now this is a time where people have not been right with the Lord. They have sought a king. They have got out of the will of God. And he said, all I want you to do is fear him and serve him. As I looked at this, he said, for consider how great things he'd done for you. Imagine and think about even the times when you were not right with him, how good he was to you. He's amazing tonight. He's amazing. Great things. You know, the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The great blessings of the Lord. Somebody said the other day, the problem with our nation is we've got everything we want. That is a problem with our nation. What was the problem with the church of Laodicea? They said, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's our problem with our nation tonight for most people. They seem to have done it without the Lord and don't understand how great things he hath done. What he can do tonight. Number three, and last of all tonight, talking about great things. First of all, he's a great Savior that brought a great salvation and a great Savior that done great works for us. Let me ask this question. What are we doing for him tonight? Before I move on, what are we doing for him? Are we trying to do great things for him? We should. Not say that I want it to be great. He said, let your light shine before men, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. But number three, is he not a great God and greatly to be praised? Psalms 48 said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 26 tonight. Or 16, excuse me. 1 Chronicles and 16. And look at what the writer said about the Lord over here. 1 Chronicles 16. He said in verse 23. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, and show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. What did he say? He said, declare his glory among the heathen. We are to praise him out in this world tonight. The world ought to know who our Savior is. The world ought to simply know, because we want to praise him and give him honor tonight. And give him glory. We get hush mouth in church, let alone when we get out there in the world tonight. But I'm telling you, when we come in here, we ought to bring praise. What was it that we started out with? Praise and glory this morning, and folk honored him, and with thanking him and praising him. But listen, he's worthy of every bit of our praise tonight. He is a great God and greatly to be praised. He's brought a great salvation and done great works in your life. Then you ought to have great praise for him tonight. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you, church? I'll be honest with you. I love playing this piano, but we need a piano player. Can I be honest with you about that tonight? We really do. You know one thing that I miss playing this, not singing in the choir. I miss raising my hand while we're singing. I miss that. I do. I miss being able to do that. I have to pay way too much attention to what I'm doing over there and sometimes still mess up. And I'm glad that God has allowed me to be able to do that. But I want to praise Him tonight and give Him glory for what He's done. Boy, He's greatly to be praised. I'm telling you, your life will go a whole lot better when you'll praise Him. Bible says in Psalms 145 verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. We can't even figure Him out tonight. I mean, how great He is and how expansive God is. We can't figure Him out tonight in our finite minds. Listen, we should just praise Him and give honor to Him. Our praises should be great. He's done great things for us. We sing that old song out of the Redback book sometimes. Praise Him, tell of His wonderful greatness. Not only do we need to think on it and dwell on it and praise Him for His greatness, but we should do what the writer of that song said, which was to tell of His wonderful greatness. Not only within the confines of these four walls, but in this world out here tonight, we were to be praising Him among the heathen. Ain't He something tonight? Boy, I can't brag on Him enough tonight to thank Him for what He's done tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house if we would. Give me just a little music tonight. Listen, maybe you just want to come gather up around this altar tonight, thank the Lord. Maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, I want to praise You tonight, first of all, out of my heart for what You've done for me, for saving me and keeping me. Oh, how great the Lord is tonight. Maybe you need to come and get saved tonight. Maybe you've never been saved. You don't know what it means to have a great salvation in your heart. Oh, but listen tonight. He's a great Savior wanting to save you with His great salvation. Maybe you've got a need on your heart tonight and you want to bring it to a great Savior that cares for you and wants to do a great work in your life tonight. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come tonight.